We'll head over now.
Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we're ready to start with verse 10. But the thing is, you can't just take part of this off and start there. You can't just start in the middle. So I'm going to have to spend a few minutes reviewing what we've already looked at last week. Well, actually for the last 3 or 4 weeks, because it all ties together. What's the first word in verse 10? Well, in the King James, it's wherefore. So, that's referring up to everything that's already been said. So we just started there, which is where we left off last week. We're kind of hanging. So let's go back to verse 1. I'm not going to read these verses, all these verses necessarily, but in verse 1, Peter has reminded us that we have obtained this like precious faith. And so it's ours. We didn't obtain it by any kind of self-effort, but it was through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Then in verse 3, Peter goes on to remind us again that according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So God has given us everything necessary to live on planet Earth. He's given us everything necessary. Every single one of us that are saved, every single one of us, he's given us all that we need in order to live a godly life, a life that is has a Godward attitude, because that's kind of the idea there of godliness. Verse 4 goes on to say, whereby, so that's referring back to 1, 2, and 3, but whereby are given unto us great and precious promises. So we spent a little bit of time on that. All the great promises that the Bible mentions, all of the precious promises that the Bible mentions. And why has God given us these promises? Well, that we might be partakers of the divine nature, that we might become more like God. So that's the reason why we have these great and precious promises, so that we might grow in our godlike attitude and lifestyle. Then verse 7, and beside this, so you see it's still, it's building, it's building, it's building. Besides this, add, and remember that that's zeal with a sense of urgency, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness their charity or love. So we reviewed all of that. And then we came to verse 8 last week. This is where we began last week after we did that review. So God has given us this serious charge in verses 5 through 7. And what those verses are basically teaching us is, okay, you've got this like precious faith, don't just coast. Spend your life growing, becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's not going to just happen. It's not just going to happen by coming to church. It's not just going to happen by a casual reading of the scripture. It's a zeal with a sense of urgency to add to our like precious faith these virtues. And what they're basically talking about is the areas in which we need to grow to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so everything that we'll ever need to fulfill that charge has already been described in verses 1 through 4. And so now here's a further motivation. What will be the results if we do add to our faith or if we don't? So last week we looked at, first of all, by the way, there are outlines on the back if you didn't get one and want one. Same outlines last week. Roman number 1 was the achievement of growth in verse 8. For if these things be in you, and that could really be translated since, because it's not an if, they are in us, but to the degree that they are in us is the idea. If these things be in you and abound, never being content with the status quo, never thinking to myself, well, I've already achieved this first one, so I can not worry about that one anymore and go on to the second one. We're working on all of them, all of the time. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the results in terms of what won't happen. First of all, you won't be barren. The word barren means idle. It means yielding no return because of inactivity or because of being at leisure. In other words, there will be progress. You'll not be barren, neither will you be unfruitful. The word unfruitful there means really unproductive or destitute of good deeds. So you will grow and you will help others grow. I appreciate what Dan said in our introduction tonight about how we're in this together. Can you imagine coming to church on Sunday and you're the only one there? You know, God has given, that's one of the resources God has given us, one of the things that he's given us, great and precious promises that we have each other. So you'll not be unfruitful. You will grow. You will help others grow. That's the results, but the requirements are that these things must be in you. What things? Well, the verses 5 through 7 that we've already looked at. They must become a part of you. They are in all believers to some degree, but the verse goes on to say, not only be in you, but abound. Or literally, be increasing. So the idea is not that you become super Christian. The idea is that this is an ongoing process, that you keep on adding. You keep on growing. You keep on becoming more like the Lord. If they be in you and are increasing is really a much better translation of this. See then was the realm in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the word implies an intimate growing knowledge, not only growing in these qualities, the characteristics, these attributes, but growing in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because all genuine growth is combined with this knowledge. You cannot really grow as a believer without having an intimate knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is given to us not only in the Gospels, but much in the epistles as well, even in the Old Testament, all the prophecies about the Lord. So all genuine knowledge is tied in, all genuine growth is tied in with this knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word implies an intimate and growing knowledge. As we grow in knowledge of him, here's what happens, we become more productive. But it doesn't stop there, because as we become more productive, our knowledge of him grows. So it just kind of snowballs. We will get to know him and his ways better. Two is the alternative to growth in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, 5 through 7, is blind, cannot see afar off, forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Three things happen there. So it's the alternative to growth. He who lacketh these things. First of all, there is a failure to perceive. And that's in the category, first of all, of blindness. That word means, it literally means darkened by smoke. That's what the word originally literally meant. So in other words, one's spiritual perception has been darkened. Now, what happens when one's spiritual perception has been darkened? They are incapable of making wise decisions. They're not capable of being as productive, as useful to God, and it's going to stunt growth as well. So blindness and then short-sightedness. So remember, the blindness, I mean, you can't see, it's darkened by smoke, but then short-sightedness is the idea is to see dimly or only what is near or close to the eyes. They only see what is basic and obvious. The deeper truths of Scripture just are elusive. And it's inevitable if these things are not in you, if you lack these things, if you're not growing spiritually, there's going to be this short-sightedness. You're going to stay like the Hebrew Christians stayed. Paul said to them, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have one that teach you the elementary things, the elementary truths of the Bible. So they only see the basic and the obvious, only what is near and close to the eyes. There is a blindness, there is a short-sightedness, and then thirdly, a forgetfulness of purging. In other words, initial purging produced great joy and determination. You remember when you first got saved? Boy, I do. I was just, man, hold me back. I just full steam ahead, and that was not me. That was God changing me. But this past purging is an important thing to remember. It's not like we forget it, but we forget how valuable it is. My Christian friends, aren't you thankful that you have been purged from your old sins? Sometimes we are not as mindful of that past purging as we ought to be. And so that's what he's talking about here. Now, here's what happens. A failure to grow dulls one's spiritual enthusiasm. That joy and determination kind of fade. And we become just kind of a nominal Christian. And we don't really get involved. We don't really have a zeal to serve, to be used of God, to reach out and be a blessing to others. It's a sad state. That's the forgetfulness of purging, along with the short-sightedness and the darkened ability to think. A failure to grow dulls one's spiritual enthusiasm, and we fail to appreciate our forgiveness as we ought and find ourselves slipping back into old patterns. This is an inevitable result of failing to add to our faith. We've got to keep on growing. You can't stand still. You're either going forwards or backwards. It's kind of like if you're in a canoe and the water's coming this way. Standing still isn't going to accomplish anything, right? You're either going to go forward or backwards. So that brings it up to date then, where we left off last week, and that is number three, our assurance through growth. First of all, of our salvation. First part of verse 10, wherefore, there's that word, wherefore. So, in other words, everything he's talked about already. The rather, brethren, here's that word again, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What does that mean? What is Peter saying here? Be diligent to make your calling and election sure. What? How would we explain that to somebody?
Make sure you've seen your sin and repented.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure that you're truly saved. And so literally, verse 10 would be, for this reason, brethren, be diligent in making sure for yourselves. How do you make sure you're saved? Somebody tell me, how do you make sure you're saved? Peter said you've got to do it. How do you do it?
You have to look at your life and make sure that you have truly come to the point where you recognize that Jesus is the Son of God, you've repented from your sins, and you claim Him as your Lord and Savior.
Absolutely. That can be a little elusive, too. I've known people that struggled with assurance for years. That's a good answer, though. Sharon, I think you had your hand up.
Well, I mean, they're like in 1 John, it gives a lot of evidences of the Christian, like conviction of sin and desire to be in God's word, desire to be around God's people, like all, and so on.
That's exactly what I was looking for. Bible evidences of salvation. Fruit of the Spirit. I remember one lady years ago I was talking to, and I started going through some of those Bible evidences of salvation, and her husband was there too. And I said, do you see this in your life? Yeah. Husband, do you see that in her life? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what you're telling me then is it would be possible to not be saved and still have these Bible evidences of salvation. So, you know, it's pretty conclusive, but don't just assume. Don't just assume. Make sure. Peter and others are challenging us, even warning us. Make sure of your salvation. Be diligent in making sure for yourselves. So here's what happens. A blind, short-sighted, forgetful individual must wonder at times, am I really saved? And that would be the kind of a natural response if this person in mind is not growing. Then you start to wonder, why? You know, why am I not growing? And am I really saved? And so we are challenged to make sure. D. Edmund Hebert made this comment: we must base our personal assurance on the appropriate evidence in our own lives. If there's anybody here or anybody listening that has doubt about your salvation, go through 1 John, as Sharon mentioned, 1 John. I think I numbered 18 of them, although some are quite similar. And see if those evidences are in your life. And if they're not, you know, reach out for help. I mean, don't just keep on without, you know, making zeal with a sense of urgency. So certainly this is a matter that calls for diligence. The first part of verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence. And the first part of verse 10, wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling election sure. So many Bible evidences besides those here. There are some here, but many elsewhere. And are these things even at least in you? Might not be abounding yet, but are they at least in you? And the goal is, of course, that they would abound, that they would continue. So our assurance of our salvation in the first part of verse 10, and then of our stability in the last part of verse 10. For if you do these things, what things? Well, 5 through 7, you shall never fall. That's the condition, doing these things. First part of verse 8, for these things be in you. First part of verse 9, but he that lacketh these things. Last part of verse 10, for if you do these things. See how it all ties together. See how important those verses 5 through 7 are. That's the condition. If you do these things, then the promise is you'll never fall. It does not mean you'll never stumble or backslide. In Proverbs chapter 24, this is not on the PowerPoint, but Proverbs 24, first part of verse 16 says this: for a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. So it doesn't mean that you'll never stumble or backslide, but it is literally a fall from which there is no arising. Security is not in question here, because our eternal security is not dependent upon our growth, nor is it dependent on our performance, as important as those things are. The idea here is that we will be spared from a disastrous fall. C is our status, verse 11, and in my notes I wrote the word "wow" with an exclamation point. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To me, it is an amazing truth to ponder that I will ever even be allowed to enter heaven. And sometimes that seems kind of almost unreal to me. What? I get to go to heaven and spend eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints of all ages? Why? Why me? You ever think that way? It's an amazing, amazing truth to ponder. Now, those who are diligent will be ministered an abundant entrance. That word abundant means richly. Abundantly, richly. Can you imagine the entrance into heaven of the author of this book? I am sure that Peter had an abundant entrance. Now, an abundant entrance implies a warm welcome over and above that which is normally given. It's not something like this, "Oh, I see you're here. Have a seat." Amazing we even get there. But the fact that, and this is not super Christian. This is a Christian that's giving diligence to add these things into their life. They're really trying to make their life matter. They're really trying to grow. They're really trying to minister to others. And all of us should, in some way. We'll receive this abundant entrance. And notice that the word ministered is in the passive form, which means that the individual is being acted upon. They are not doing the acting. So it indicates that this entry will not be a matter of their own achievement. It's not those who performed mighty feats, but my friend, it's those who were diligent to do these things, because that's what the verse says. If you do these things, you'll never fall. Or so, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Any entrance and any reward, however, are solely based on the grace of God. My friend, are you growing? Are you making an effort to grow? Are you spending time, meaningful time in God's Word? Obviously, you're faithful in your church attendance. You wouldn't be here tonight. Are you doing what's necessary? Are you being fruitful? Are you being productive? Or do you find yourself slipping back into old habits? Or is growth even really an issue to you? And what is all of this telling you about your salvation? So make sure. Okay, comments, questions? Anything? All right. I have a few things I'd like to mention for prayer. I forgot to bring my phone up, just a minute.